This is Dish and Dirt with Gary Pickren, South Carolina's only podcast dedicated to the real estate agent craft. And now, the host of Dish and Dirt, Gary Pickren.
And greetings, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Dish and Dirt. I'm your often opinionated but rarely wrong host, Gary Pickren, coming to you from Blair, Cato, Pickering, Casterline. This day in Malden, South Carolina, in our Malden office, doing a little bit of business. And coming to you from the beautiful Malden area, this the third week of August 2023. So got a really good show for you today, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the intro because our guest has such an incredible story. I want her to basically take the podcast and run with it today. Her name is Jennifer Wehner. She is an incredible story. She started homeless, living in a car, dealing with all kind of issues, and in a very short period of time, got educated, got into real estate, made a fortune in real estate, being one of the absolute top real estate agents, volume-wise, dollar-wise, in the entire country. So her story is very motivating to hear that somebody with a lot of self-doubt, a lot of issues going on in their world, that she could literally take herself from living in a car, pregnant at 18 years old, and make herself into one of the most successful real estate agents in the country. So it's an incredible story, and I think we all can use a little motivation. So I'm going to let Jennifer tell you her story about how she overcame self-doubt, how she's been able to grow her business. You're going to learn a lot, not just from the motivational aspect from it, but also just how she did it. So it's an incredible story. Hope you will listen to the very end because there's tidbits of information. I actually picked up a lot of good things that I'm going to try to implement in my life as well. So here's Jennifer to listen to her incredible story.
Today's guest is Jennifer Wehner. From being a waitress in Riverside, California, to becoming the CEO of a $250 million a year real estate team in Scottsdale, Arizona, Jennifer is one of the top 1% of all real estate agents. In 2020, she sold 373 homes at over $178 million in real estate volume. The number was almost $200 million in 2022, and I think it's going to be about $250 this year. But instead of me telling you all about what a big badass Jennifer is, what I want to do is let her tell you her own story, because her story is one of the most inspiring stories of how someone started from a basic meager background and has grown herself into one of the greatest professionals in our profession today. And she's going to tell us a lot about how she took her business from zero to $250 million. So I want to thank you for joining us, Jennifer, on Dish and Dirt. And I'm glad you're able to finally work out our schedules and get you on today.
Thank you for having me. And that's quite an honor. It's inspiring. So I hope I live up to your words there. But yeah, I came out of my mom's belly in Riverside, California in 1978. You know, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. And I wanted a lot of things. I wanted like nice things, like all the food we'd have. It'd be like, can I get a Diet Coke? Like, no, that's $1.95 extra. And I'm like, you know what? I want to work. I see America, and I was a nerd in school, you know, so like I was an introvert. I'm an introvert today. I didn't know how to communicate with other people. So I'd like kids, you know, I was always got the good grades and the teacher's pet, but I would find my friendships and on all these books. I was seeing all these opportunities and like history and like all this amazing things, big dreams as a kid, you know, like, oh, you know, anything's possible. I think I had to escape boredom. You know, that was like my life. We didn't even have like TV. We weren't allowed to watch it, you know, but with imagination. Albert Einstein did say, you know, logic will get you to from A to Z. Imagination will get you everywhere. And it's sad because after the age of 30, they say the average person stops dreaming. It's like we have to get back, like sometimes through children, like I've worked a lot about childhood trauma and trauma nonetheless. But in that trauma, after you, like when you process it, you can keep going back to that childlike state of wonder and awe, because even though there was like a lot of crap that happened to me. I think that's one of my superpowers. I could just get through a lot of crap. My parents divorced and, you know, I was very young, but very intuitive. And I was a part of it all. You know, I grew up in a family of alcoholism, of domestic violence. My dad was a cop, and they don't tell you how to like deal with the trauma that you see. Mm-hmm. Dad's first accident when he was 21 years old, he saw mom and daughter burn together. Mm-hmm. And then like, how do you process that other than to escape through alcohol? And, you know, it's in our genetics, you know, my Irish grandparents that were servants that escaped war to come here to America. I mean, every single one of them sadly has succumbed to alcoholism. you know, and in Riverside, sadly, I wasn't that cool because, you know, I'm not that popular because I'd never seen cocaine, but apparently like it was like where like the popular kids did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've lost many friends from like meth and suicide and to get out of Riverside, when I was 18, I, you know, my dad had gone to jail. Like I had been homeless for a little bit, but I knew I had to get out of Riverside. So, you know, I went to fashion school. Quickly, I got pregnant with my first daughter. I was 18, didn't have anybody in the world. You know, I was like, I didn't know who was my husband for 25 years. We had 4 kids together, my daughter being our first, but I was 18 years old and we didn't know him very well at all. My dad didn't have access to my dad. I didn't have access to my mom. My grandma had just died. Like, didn't have deep friendships. There were more shallow friendships. And so it felt very alone. So again, like when you feel alone and in defeat, you know, it is the closest thing to hope. So I had to, when I got pregnant, I had a why. Even before I met her, even before like my stomach showed, it's this love, you know, it's like a love so vulnerable that you would do anything for this love. And you can't live selfish anymore because, you know, when that baby does come out of you, and I've told my daughter who's now 25 and married and waiting for grandchildren, but I was like, it's like when you were in there, you took some of my heart out with you and I could never get part of that heart back. It's like, because of her, I had to change, you know, I had to, and not that I wasn't like in college and having a job and supporting myself, but I also had to get away from the people I was around. You know, the people I was around were drinking and doing drugs and didn't have goals. And like, it was a toxic environment and preventing me realizing like at least being responsible and being able to have like a safe, protective space where we can grow from and grow, you know, raise my daughter. And, you know, I worked at Starbucks, you know, had a little rent. I lived off $600 a month. This is 1997. And, as soon as I had her, I got back, I transferred to Starbucks and then signed up for a Long Beach date, which I got financial aid because, you know, as a mom, cocktail waitressing and, you know, saving all my tips. I mean, I was top performer there and I could work 3-4 days a week and sometimes make like $800 a night, but I still lived in Huntington Beach. So I, you know, had to, you know, provided for, I've been the breadwinner of my family this entire time. Those dreams as a kid, like they've never gone away. Luckily, there's so many brilliant, like now there's so much information, but there were so many books. There's so much to be learned in our history and what I was learning. From there, I was pricing out tanning salons. You know, Long Beach State was like really like planet. Mm-hmm. Should I open up a salon and have like a world-class experience salon? Because I love doing people's hair. I like people making girls feel pretty. Then I had 2 friends that were flipping homes here in Arizona. I was like, well, my rent's $1,700 a month for this house in Huntington Beach, but I could buy 2 houses and both mortgages together are $1,500. So I got in and I would put in internet ads out and I had a website back then. This is like 03, 04, end of 03. And, you know, first year in, we just sold 46 homes. I flipped, I think, about 8-10 homes that year. Wow. But I couldn't believe we were in this industry because in Riverside, it didn't exist. Mm-hmm. That like the harder you work, the more you work and, you know, you work smarter and you find systems. And I've always been like obsessed with systems because there is seem like I get a lot done, but I really am a lazy person inside trying to find a way to be lazy, but I do leverage like as much as I possibly can.
Right.
But some of my systems back then would be as stupid as like, if I'm going to write the same email to every client, and I'm a people pleaser, recovering people pleaser. So I always wanted people to have the best possible experience. And I like nice things, you know? So when I'd go to a nice hotel, I'd copy like everything they did, you know, in my own business. So if I'm going to write the same email, I'm going to just put it in a Word doc because they didn't have all the tech that they had today.
Right.
And then I'm going to copy and paste. If I'm going to do ads, like copy and paste the A to B. So, you know, I've built on those systems throughout the years. I got into investing, got into retail, worked with investors, was building luxury homes. I was building like 10 luxury homes. I think I owned like 4 or 5 multifamily and, 07 happened and we're like, what's going on? You know, like,
y'all got hit harder than anybody did in Arizona.
Yeah. It's like, I wasn't listening to like Robert Kiyosaki. You know, I didn't have the tribe, like whether it be like the tribe, I think I have like my friends, I call them like Lex Fridman. And, you know, there's so many like Tim Ferriss, there's so many amazing, brilliant minds that I feel like they're my friends, but also the true tribe I have today, like the people that are surrounding me, like my mentors, the my friends that are like selling $400 or $500 million, that I put myself in the rooms where I'm so stupid and it's the best feeling ever. But when 2008 called and wanted its money back, like at first I was confused. I was like, what do you want me to do? Right. And I hope like you want me to pay $1.2 million times 10 homes that are under construction. Like, don't we just have to extend the construction loan? You know, I'm like, well, do you accept like post-it notes, like on IOUs on post-it notes? I'm the dumb and dumber. But no, it was I had to go through some of the most economic, and when it's economic and it affects your family and you don't know how you're gonna put food on your table, and your house is in foreclosure and your daughter's wondering why the car is missing from the driveway. And you're like, oh, a mechanic must have took it. But I found a way. You know, it's like you learn to find a way. Like I had pivoted a little too late into short sell to bank-owned homes, to working. And in 2010, I saw the opportunity of like the internet. And I'm an introvert. So I like to do things that can scale. I like to do things like, and you wouldn't think so, because when I got into real estate, I was very shy still. Actually, probably not. Like this, I think the cocktail waitressing really broke my shyness. Mm-hmm. But when I got into real estate, you know, you learn some of these skills. But I loved video for the opportunity to take that one video and repurpose it so many ways. Public speaking, I've gotten into, and as an introvert, because I'm like, you can talk to way more people at one time than, you know, just one-on-one, which I love people. But at the end of the day, like the cocoon starts to like surround me and I need to like, I need my alone time.
Right.
So I pivoted, and then we started to do blogs, and, you know, I found an investor that, we went to the, in 2011, when the market turned around, he flew me into his operations in California. He found one of my blogs and he said he picked me because I was the most humble. Well, yeah, I just went through a total ego dissolution with losing everything I had.
2007 did that to a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah. If there was any ego, it was like, phew. Started to turn my business around. And then I was working a lot of internet channels like Zillow and Google and past client referrals. And I had, and then I got an assistant. You know, I had a virtual assistant first, which virtual assistants can do so much. This was like 2010, 2009, 2010. And now we have a lot of virtual assistants on our team, like really good ones. And then in 2014, I was like, I'm ready to grow a team. I read a lot of books. I had a like mentor. So, you know, my first buyer's agent, she's still with me today, and she had her best year ever last year. And what's so exciting, she already did what she did last year, half of this year. So, and her daughter works for me, her sister-in-law. So she's been able to grow her network and her family. So it's that legacy, you know, that's so exciting. But, you know, I have failed way more than I've won. Like I fail like all the time, you know.
Let's talk about that, because clearly you're one of the most successful agents in the country. And I've heard you talk about your failures before. And I think I listened to you one time say you could do a whole 15-hour podcast on all your failures, which is amazing, being that you're a $250 million agent. Tell us how those failures helped you grow professionally and personally, and how you use those failures to reinvent yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, first of all, it starts with extreme ownership. You know, I'm like a Jocko Willink fan. And the more ownership I took back, because I can't control other people, you know, and people, when you're an entrepreneur, and I, you know, I'm sensitive, and I'm like, there's an anger side of me too. I'm an Aries. So I'm like, you know, if you come at me, you know, I'll be protective. And, you know, some people like kind of burn you in the business once in a while, and people you care about, or maybe they didn't burn you. Maybe you failed in a way, right? In every situation I find my ownership in it. And when I like see my ownership in it and what I could do different and what I could even do now to like close the gap and not have that, you know, energy out there. And you know, saying, I'm sorry, you know, and so I've learned to forgive others. And, you know, why it might seem like I have confidence, like I had to build my self-esteem. My self-esteem was very low. You know, I have fought mental health issues. I have fought limiting beliefs like crazy, you know, and, you know, they say like, when you're in your head and you're hearing words like you're dumb, you're stupid, you're fat, no one likes you. Sometimes those words are not your words. Sometimes they might have been someone in the fifth grade who is bullying you. Sometimes it could have been an ex-spouse or an ex-best friend. It could be your family. How I have found to reinvent myself, first of all, is pure, like I would just say, grit and an insatiable hunger. Like I am not going to lose. And I love the name. I'm not going to go through hell and stop here, you know, and the real estate world, like it is, if you expect to always feel good, you know, or feel happy, it's a false emotion. Like you're going to have crappy days. You're going to have seasons, you know, but if you can live like treat each day, like it's its own life. Even if you had a crappy day, there's always beauty through that pain, mm-hmm. You know, through that pain of defeat that I went through, I learned so much of like what not to do, you know, and if I could just coach people and here's some stuff not to do, here's some stuff that's shifting and being in the trenches around the people that I've had that do support me, you know, unconditionally and people that believe in my vision now and they can see it with me and the people alongside me on my team because 4 years ago, I had 4 people on my team. Today, I have 40 and I have almost 300 people in our growing network. At the same time, I've been able to continue to raise my 4 kids, volunteer at the schools, write a book, the Renaissance book, which is my first book and finishing my second book almost. Investor, I love investing in real estate. I love making homes beautiful. The one that you see right now, it's my design. And I have several different companies. So, you know, title company, insurance company. So I love entrepreneurism. I love the American dream.
Right.
And through any defeat, there's even when you're in it, it's like you find what you're capable of. And sometimes you couldn't imagine how strong you could be, like when you have to.
Right. It's amazing when you talk about self-doubt, because I think if people looked at you on the surface and looked at all that you've accomplished and all that you do now, self-doubt would never even enter into one of my possible thoughts of this person here has struggled with self-doubt in her whole life. And I think there's a lot of real estate agents out there that are limited by their own self-doubt. And I think that's where I see the inspiration of what you talk about is here's a person that's got a $250 million team, but you didn't have a $250 million team in 2007. You were doing a completely different type of business. And even in 2010, we're doing a different type of business, but you kept pushing your way through it. Even as you had self-doubt, you kept working through that and made it happen.
I'd love to tell a story, and it's not about me, but it really applies to self-doubt and how much belief matters. It was on a podcast I heard yesterday, but there was a guy who grew up in the inner city, poor, got bad grades, struggled in school, was bullied, didn't have a lot of home support. His teacher said, "You would never succeed. You sign up for the military because that's the only way out of being like born stupid." And he took an IQ test and he came back at 140. And they're like, wow. So like he went to Stanford. He became a physician. He's very successful. And 20 years later, he found out that there was a big mess up. They mixed up the IQ reports and sent them. He actually had a 70 IQ. And because he believed that he had 140, he lived up to that example. He was accepted. He really was capable of more, but because the people around him, you know, were implanting these beliefs mm-hmm. and at such a young, impressionable age, can you imagine? The one thing, like through my parents, I will say, like, through life and through being burned, and you be vulnerable and be still open, don't close your heart up. You know, my parents, they supported my dreams. They saw that I wasn't like wanting to do them. Even they accepted me for the fact that I'm different than most of them. Like I don't like a job. I don't want to do the same thing all the time and then have summer. I don't care about the easy path. For me, the mountains are more exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, the mountains that we climb. And when you have a whole tribe helping up you up that mountain, you know, and you're helping people up that mountain. And sometimes you got to let someone go and, you know, someone stronger up ahead. It is like you together, and it's a village, you know, it's a community. And I think even with what's going on in the world today, And we're in the age of technology, but we're in the cognitive revolution, you know, and the first time they're saying human intelligence on average is actually going down in the time that we have the access to the most information.
That's very interesting to think about, because we now, when I grew up, if you wanted to find something out, you called the librarian and asked him a question, who did what in this year? Now you're just say it out loud and Siri will give you the answers. We couldn't do that.
Like being able to pause. Right. And when you pause, you know, and sometimes it takes a physical move. Like, so like for me, I have to get away for conferences. I always have. If I find myself, I haven't gotten away in a couple months, you know, physically, with my professional like group, the energy is just not the same through Zoom. Mm-hmm. You know, you're surrounded by bigger thinkers, and you would be, it's crazy to know this, but the bigger you think, the easier it gets, because the bigger you think, the more people that align with you that like want to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves. And I've always wanted that. I don't want to be alone. You know, I don't want to be that bully little child, but nor do I want those bully little children that sometimes even us today. I mean, there are days where I'm like, ooh, I had it. Ooh, I feel like I was smoking today. And then there are moments like all the time that I'm like, why is anybody listening to me? You know, and but it's to finding the humor in it all, making it fun, because it is like the roller coaster. You know, it's there's ups and downs and loops, and there's going to be people that get on the coaster with you and off the coaster with you. There is so much fun to be had along the way, because how many crazy real estate stories, if we just compile like a chicken soup for the soul, but real estate version, every right. single agent can yeah. come up with a story that would blow our mind.
Over 100. One of the other themes that I've heard in your, when you speak, is the reinventing of yourself, the reinventing of your practice. And one time you had to reinvent yourself and your practice because the economy collapsed. But after that, you reinvented yourself without having a problem in the economy or problem in the market. You just saw a different route going from perhaps building the homes to, hey, I can create this team. It seemed like you were always right there, just right above or right before that major shift in the market. The teams, you were right there before teams became an everyday thing. You were right there before the internet became an everyday thing in real estate. How would you tell an agent that they need to start looking at themselves, and when do they need to start looking to reinvent their practice? I think we get in this habit of, this is how I've been doing it for 20 years. It's worked for 20 years, so I'm never changing it. And then 3 years later, they're
change
done.
Is inevitable. So you can either accept it or you know, reject it, but you don't get to pick your suffering. You will suffer or sacrifice. So you can either be in ignorance, and ignorance is bliss, and then be caught off guard and your pants are down and now you're having to change before you know, I like to change before you have to change. Change after you have to change is really hard. Begin with the long game in mind. And that's what I was always like preposterous at. Like I was a child looking at like old people at church because I was bored, and they all looked the same, and they all like looked like they had boring lives. And I'm like, I am never going to get old and boring. First of all, I'm never going to have that ugly haircut. I'm always going to have some cool hair, but I'm always going to be doing something. You know, I'm not going to just like in my family, there was like a race to retirement. I'm like, what? A race to the couch? But what is your exit strategy? Like, what do you love to do? What brings you joy? Start making that list of what you don't love. There's no way I could be where I could be without my team. No way. And today, like I said, I'm going through a personal change as we speak. And the people around me have been absolute mission critical to my success. And I have a parenting therapist. I have real estate coaches. I have an outsource CTO, and I totally believe in learning. Like learning is like my number one, like I'm obsessed with learning, and change is inevitable. And when we embrace change, and the Italian word fumato, and what that means is Leonardo, one of his key principles was to embrace uncertainty, paradox, and duality. And we are in uncertain times. We all can agree. But if we sfumato, you know, and we embrace it, there's more opportunities in a challenging market than in a good market. So if you can look, and I love studying humans and a human avatar and stuff, but if you can look and see what's coming, what's trending, like, look at the tribe that are around you. Are these are the ones that are complaining about the last client that burned them or something? Or are you around people that are like, oh my God, I just found this new pillar. I made, you know, I just found a new relocation company. I found a, you know, a new whatever it is, right? Like a new product, a new company, whatever it is that they're doing. Are you around the people that are supporting you? Like, oh my gosh, I want to write a book, you know? And even the ones that challenge you, like find the ones that challenge you and keep you accountable. Cause that I will say there was an old, one of my brokers, friend still, he had told me I wanted to write a book forever. I kept saying it. He's like, either shut up or write the book. So I shut up for a little bit and then I wrote the book. So, you know, but like, I love those challengers. So surround that tribe. It's like they say you're the sum total of the five people you spend the most time with. But it's not just in terms of money, you know, it is, but it's in terms of energy, you know, right? Like, what kind of energy are you getting? You know, and sometimes we have to change up that energy around us, get out of our current state, shake it up. And really in that self-discovery, because right now, it, with wars aside, the biggest thing you'll, like, you know, Marcus Aurelius says, the biggest thing you'll ever overcome in your life is yourself. And that is the only thing that we can work on mastering. And when we learn to master that, the better we get at that, the more compassion we have, the bigger we start thinking, because it becomes way more about other people and something bigger than just yourself. And you have to have money goals. Truly, you have to know numbers, because when you have those money goals, what does that money goal mean to you? You know, for like today, if you had 100 million, but you still had to do real estate, what would you do? You know, pick that activity, because the more money you have, the more you can give back. And right now, the best thing that we can do, and I think as real estate, like being a beneficiary of the upcoming recession, and, you know, real estate, like there's going to be more opportunities in real estate than ever, but it's going to take collaboration, because it's not the most smartest, the most intelligent man or the most capable, but it is the most collaborative man at the end of the day that survives. Chris Bosch / Charles Darwin credit there. But it truly is, without that collab, if I had the mentors back in 05, 06, 07, I wouldn't have made those mistakes that I made. So now it's like when I have vision, you know, it's like I might see one stone or two stones in front of me, but, you know, with like Kyle Whistle or John Pugh or Lauren Rosen, some of John Glutch, like some of my like big thinkers, you know, I could start seeing the stones come together. And the more, you know, big vision, big thinkers, you know, and the doers, you know, the ones that are wanting to do it and aren't scared of hard work, because Riverside taught me one thing, and that was to work hard. And that discipline is going to equal that freedom.
Well, you bring me a great place to segue into what I want to talk about next, which is you've built an incredible team, very successful, and now you're looking to give back by coaching. As you just said, coaching was a big reason you are where you are today. I'm a huge believer. We have a business coach here at our law firm. I don't believe our firm would be where it is without having a business coach who basically holds us accountable and helps us work out the issues that we see and helps us look forward to what's coming and how to adjust to it. What is your overarching theme that you're trying to teach or you're trying to instill in the agents that you work with?
Honestly, I just did a video. It's on my, it was an interview with my coaching student. So I was approached in 2020 to be a coach with partners. They were looking specifically for a female because that demographic wasn't filled and I had good production and they thought I had a personality for it and I had a passion for it, which I do, because, you know, that's one thing I love to do. One of my, I actually took ownership back and we're ready to relaunch it with the book. But one of my first, my coaching students, she just joined me at eXp Realty and she's in the Alexandria, DC, Maryland, Virginia market. And she flips homes too. She, by the age of 30, she had already had, I think she has 25 homes at 34. She just had her third baby. So some of our coaching calls literally would be boys on the top of her head. And she was pregnant while she doubled her business last year, while flipping homes. She flipped the home last year right next to Mount Vernon, George Washington's house. I thought that was cool.
Oh, nice.
But within 60 days, she is capped and she's already brought, she was so scared of like hiring a team. She was waiting like, oh, I need this perfect assistant and all these systems. And I'm like, no, girl. I'll just coaching and taking action on what I told her to do, which is so much of what has been told what me to do, you know, and repurposing it. But it is about integrating everything, mind, body, spirit. I talk about in my action blocking on the calendar, action block those date nights, action block those kid nights. It's sometimes as an entrepreneur, you might have less time, but time is not general. We all have 24 hours and know that some people that can make that 24 hours feel like 1,000 hours, and some people that 24 hours that can have the efficiency of one. You know, so, but it's quality over quantity. And when you action block and, you know, have exciting activities and experiences, even if it's at home playing games or making art or having dance contests, you know, it's very popular in my house, family board meetings, you know, on Sundays with the family, because we can apply those same principles in entrepreneurship as we can in our life. And we have to be well-rounded people. We can't just be work and no spiritual, and whatever spiritual means to you, whether it's church, hiking, taking a, you know, reading, praying, meditating, yoga, whatever it is, you know, fulfilling your different buckets of life, friendship. You know, we sometimes lose sight of some of the most important things in building business, but it's a limiting belief that we can't have, you know, maybe there's seasons, ups and downs where it's never balanced, you know, but it's a more fuller wheel. And when you can see, like my first agent that I brought on 8 years ago, who, is still with me 8 years later, had her best year last year, and has already had that same production this year, bringing her daughter on, bringing her sister-in-law on, like she trusts me with her family, seeing their lives change, not just their real estate goals, they're hitting those, but seeing what they can do with that money for their family to give back. Sometimes some people want to give back greater, but I think everybody, if you can take care of your family, having a responsibility to then give back to the community. And to me, I don't feel like that responsibility is a burden. I feel like it's a pleasure. Like it's something that I would do even if you didn't have to pay me. And so that has been the passion I have found in giving back and being so grateful throughout the year. So throughout the failures, I found those people. And those people, sometimes people believed in me and I'm like, why? You know, why? Like, would you like, why do you like me? Like, why do you want me around? You know, but it's they believed me, and it's like giving that belief to others.
So tell me, you have a book coming out called Renaissance Real Estate Agent. In a minute or two we have left, tell us real quickly about that and how we can find it.
Okay. So I discovered I was an artist a few years ago, and because I always thought I was a capitalist, but I'm an artist capitalist. But now I've applied that every human is an artist. We all have different gifts. But systems are critical. And you say, be obsessed with the process, love the process. And everything has to be a system, even as simple as when I started as of like having my Word documents with my emails. You know, now we have better systems and technology, but how it's the art of how to unlock systems in your business. It gets personal about who, you know what, it gets into the stories, it gets into principles, math, like things like, profit and loss statements, like how to run a business, how to save and plan for the future, and be able to have passive forms of income, and how to, and it's really like a pick your own adventure, because I do talk about a lot of different lead generation and follow up and client appreciation strategies, investing. It's going to be the principles. And you might not, I'm an introvert. I am not going to build my business at the country club. I'm going to build my business in different ways, but we do talk about, you know, the different ways based on what you love to do. How to unlock the art of systems in your business, the Renaissance Real Estate Agent, and Renaissance, because we truly are in a Renaissance, and I've been tracking history in a 400 year cycle. And it is the new technology. It's the, a renaissance of really, it's a cognitive renaissance. It's mastering who we need to be. And the less you stop thinking about what other people think about you or saying or doing, and you become more of an individual, that renaissance is going to apply to our market. It's going to apply to every market. It's applying to the world right now, but you can truly be that renaissance agent. You can truly be like Leonardo da Vinci. We have all of that inside of us. Unlocked. And most of us you know, are living up to 7-8% of our potential. Nobody's ever at 100%, not one person, except for my dad. I'm just kidding. But, you know, we are all capable of more than we ever can imagine. We never will ever realize that, you know, until we're like, you know, in the better place.
How do our real estate agents find you if they want to find out more about your book, you, your teaching?
I am on YouTube, Jennifer Wehner, W-E-H-N-E-R, Instagram, DM me on Instagram. That is like the easiest channel. I do sometimes go to like philosophy and other topics and real estate topics. I do sometimes go on Clubhouse, but find me on Instagram, YouTube, email me, Jennifer@JenniferWehner.com. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Facebook. I'm on them all, but Instagram seems to be the best channel that we can instantly connect. We are in a new market right now. And even though I've gone through what and been able to reinvent myself and it's still a new market. And whether you've been in the business 1 year or 20 years, we're all new agents in this market. So if we think about it in that approach, you know, it's all of us together. So, and I love to learn from others just as much as I love to share, you know, what I've learned along the way of the experience of life.
Well, I really appreciate you being on. I think you have a very inspiring story, and I hope that the agents got a lot out of it, because I certainly did. And love to have you come back sometime in the future.
It's such an honor. Namaste. And I truly appreciate that. This is the fun part, right?
And that's all the time we have for our show today. If you'll please like us, share us, and subscribe to us, and tell all the other real estate agents that you know that Dish and Dirt is actually kind of cool, that would be a big help. So spread the word. Well, have a great weekend, and we'll see you here again next week for Dish and Dirt.